Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
A woman goes to her first pregnancy checkup and is told, "Congratulations, you're having twins." And weeks later at her next checkup, she's told, "We only see one heartbeat." This scenario is more common than most people think. I'm Dr. Brooke Friedman, a reproductive endocrinologist and infertility specialist at Reproductive Partners. I'm here to shed some light on what is known as the vanishing twin syndrome. This is Twin Talks.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a 2-for-1.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two. Welcome to Twin Talks, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Twin Talks is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald. Now, have you heard about the Twin Talks Club? Our members get bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. Subscribe to our monthly Twin Talks newsletter and learn about the latest episodes available. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Twin Talks app. It's available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. Before we get started, let's introduce our panelists in the room, and I'll introduce myself first. I'm the mom to ID girls who are just five. They turned 5 years old last week, and I also have a singleton who is going to be 2, so it seems like all of our birthdays just happened at the same time. And so we are definitely, we're a girl family.
Lots of estrogen.
Yes.
We're split in my house. So I'm Sunny, and I'm the owner of New Mommy Media, which produces Twin Talks, Parent Savers, The Boo Group, and Preggy Pals. And we have 4 children, my husband and I. My oldest kids are boys. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old. It's pretty bad when you say your oldest is 4.
Yeah.
And then I have identical twin girls, Ainsley and Addison, who are 10 months old.
I'm Shelley. I'm the producer here at Twin Talks. I have identical twin boys who just turned 2 in July, and then I have a singleton girl who is 3 weeks old, so we've got a 3-under-3 situation here.
I love it.
I wanted to let you guys know we have a virtual panelist program, so for those of you who can't get out of your house and into the studio, you can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter, and you can also use the hashtag TwinTalksVP to stay a part of our conversation.
And we want to thank Shelley. This is actually Shelley's last episode with us, at least for the time being. We open the door for her to come back whenever she wants. But as you can imagine, with a newborn little girl and her twins at home, things are a little crazy and she needs to be home and be with her family.
Yes.
We're sad, but we hope she'll come back at some point. So Shelley, we just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm sure I'll be in here.
Yeah, as a
panelist. I'll drag her along.
Yes.
And be a panelist.
Totally. Yeah. We'd love to have you back, but
yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Shelley.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Yeah.
So before we start today's show, we're going to talk about a different medical phenomenon. So instead of vanishing twin, we have an incident where a woman ended up with kind of an extra one. So a woman in England considered a true medical miracle. She gave birth to triplets from two separate wombs. So it's a rare condition that only affects one in a million women. As you can imagine, she was concerned that she would never have children. And in fact, kind of the opposite happened. She ended up pregnant in one uterus with a singleton and in the other one with identical twin. It was a high-risk pregnancy. She had the triplets early and low birth weight, but luckily they seem to all be healthy and doing well, she says.
That's wow. Just amazing. I mean, well, having triplets is just, you know, a big deal, but then having them, you know, different
two wombs. Yeah, that's crazy.
Now we have our expert in here. Now I have to ask our expert, Dr. Friedman. I mean, now what are the chances of women having two wombs?
So it's incredible. It's rare. It's rare, but we definitely see it. So it's called a uterine didelphys, which basically there are two separate uterine horns. And women actually can conceive spontaneously with a uterine didelphys. So it's not that automatically equates with infertility. So it's definitely, it's a rare phenomenon, but we do see it, not infrequently, and sometimes it's actually associated with two cervices as well. So sometimes they have two uterine horns and two cervixes, two cervices.
So we don't know how that happens.
It basically it's a abnormality that occurs when we're in our mother's womb. Okay. So it's basically the uterus doesn't form normally. Usually, what happens is those two horns fuse together, but that just doesn't occur in some women.
So they have one set of fallopian tubes.
One on each side. So
one on each side.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
So usually they have one ovary on each side, and they have one horn kind of in a fallopian tube on each side.
Oh, my goodness.
And then You said two cervices.
Sometimes.
Cervice is the plural of cervix.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And not all the time, but sometimes they do have two, so a cervix for each horn.
Okay, now I have to ask, just, you know, from a clinical standpoint, I'm imagining this woman going into labor, and so she's having contractions on both uterus, each uterus, right? So she's having double contractions?
You know, I don't know how it would feel different, but...
Yeah. Yeah. I would think the pregnancy, it seems like with the early birth weight, she probably wouldn't make it all the way to...
So because there's less space typically in each horn, so definitely, you know, there's an increased risk of preterm delivery, particularly with two in one horn. Since there's less space, it's not surprising that she delivered early, but I'm glad to hear that the baby seemed to be doing well.
Did it say what the birth weight was? Did you say
they were each between 2 and 3 pounds? Yeah.
They probably had some NICU experience.
Yes.
For sure.
Wow. That's just amazing in of itself.
But at least they're doing well, right?
This to hear a positive story.
Right. Was an update at 6 months? So they're the babies are 6 months now. That's great.
Absolutely. All right.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Well, today's topic is vanishing twin syndrome, and we're talking with Dr. Brooke Friedman, who's helping us understand what this phenomenon really is and how it can affect women carrying twins. So thanks for joining us, Dr. Friedman.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Can you explain what this is from a medical standpoint?
Absolutely. So typically in the context of, let's say, an IVF pregnancy, typically the most common scenario is that, for example, two embryos are transferred and both implant, but only one continues. So what can happen is that first pregnancy ultrasound around 6 weeks, often there's two separate sacs and two heartbeats seen, but then the follow-up ultrasound, it looks like only one is continuing, and the other pregnancy, which initially implanted, was not able to continue developing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's known as a vanishing twin.
One
twin does not continue and typically is absorbed by the body, and then the remaining singleton continues.
And does this happen more frequently with the use of fertility treatments, or, I mean, spontaneously as well?
Absolutely. It appears to be more common with fertility treatments, but also really with fertility treatments in pregnancy, typically we're doing monitoring early earlier. So it's a little bit hard to compare with spontaneously conceived pregnancies where not all women are getting an ultrasound at 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's pretty early. It's like 2 weeks after a missed period. So often there may be vanishing twins that we're not picking up with spontaneously conceived pregnancies because most women, when they go to their OB-GYN, aren't getting an ultrasound until later in pregnancy. So with an IVF pregnancy, we're typically doing that ultrasound quite early at 6 weeks. So we're also detecting this phenomenon because we're doing an ultrasound so early.
So for most women, it's between 8 and 10 weeks is when you would go in for a dating ultrasound. And I remember being really concerned. I went in at 8 weeks and found out we were having twins, and then did all the research and was terrified for 2 whole weeks that this other twin was just going to disappear. And when I went to back at 10 weeks to see the perinatologist who I would see for my pregnancy, he was like, that by the time you've seen 2 heartbeats on an ultrasound between 8 and 10 weeks, the odds of this happening are almost, I mean, don't even worry about
it. It goes down
substantially. Yeah, it goes down substantially because of it. So it's one of those things where, I mean, people are looking for it and worried about it, but by the time you've gone in and confirmed a twin pregnancy at a normal, you know, a more average time, it's not really a major concern.
Absolutely. Certainly beyond 10 weeks, it becomes less common.
And what causes the loss of an embryo? I mean, is this considered just like a standard miscarriage, or, you know, what's the reason behind it?
Sure. I mean, we typically think of it as that embryo was not able to continue to develop into a healthy pregnancy. So I often talk to women in much the same way if they've had a miscarriage. So we know that the majority of losses of, let's say, just a regular miscarriage are due to genetic abnormalities of the embryo that were preventing it from becoming a healthy pregnancy, a healthy child. So we know that that was the most likely explanation for an embryo that's not able to continue developing. But it's something that we are often not able to answer with certainty. But most miscarriages, most pregnancy losses are due to a genetic abnormality of the embryo.
And are there any factors that would put a woman at higher risk to lose an embryo?
You know, again, I think it really stems to that. The most likely explanation is there being a genetic abnormality with the embryo. I mean, I basically would tell a patient who has experienced a vanishing twin, what I would tell a patient who had a miscarriage is it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing you did to make this happen. Mm-hmm. I think we know that, unfortunately, as we get older as women, we have an increased likelihood of having genetically abnormal eggs. That's just our biologic reality. It's not fair, but that's unfortunately just our biology. So as we get older, there is an increased likelihood of having a genetic abnormality in the embryo, which could increase the chance of a miscarriage.
And would it be safe to say that if a woman has had a miscarriage in the past, is it more likely to have the incidence of vanishing twins?
You know, I wouldn't say that. Okay. I mean, I think that having a miscarriage is quite common, and mm-hmm. and so I think that it's I wouldn't say that it's necessarily predictive of having a vanishing twin.
Well, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think we were talking earlier about sort of having vanishing twins, or take place within the first, you know, maybe 6 or 8 weeks. Is that sort of the highest period of time in which that would happen? Or are there certain periods of time where it's more, you know, dangerous or more frequent?
So I would say earlier is more frequent. So I say prior to 8 weeks, you know, when we're doing those early ultrasounds at 6 weeks, I mean, I think prior to 8 weeks seems more common. I think as with advancing gestational age, it becomes less common. So certainly after 10 weeks, certainly after 12 weeks, I think that it would be much less common. So when we think of a vanishing twin syndrome, we're typically thinking of a very early loss of that second pregnancy.
And I would think so for most women who are not experiencing fertility treatments. And, you know, as Shelley said, you know, going in, you know, I think I went in at 8 weeks was my first, checkup. So we may not even know. Most women who are at 8 or 10 weeks getting that initial ultrasound may have never know that there was a vanishing twin.
True. Absolutely. I think that is true. We may never know. I think we know the incidence is most likely higher with IVF pregnancies, in which we know that multiple embryos are being transferred. So the majority of the time, usually only one egg is released and it usually doesn't split. Mm-hmm. So in couples who are and women who are not using fertility treatment, I think if they go in at that 8-week scan, I think most likely that started as a singleton pregnancy, but I'm sure there are certainly some that have begun, but I think it's a lot less likely.
And overall, I mean, statistically speaking, what is the likelihood of, you know, conceiving multiples and then having the vanishing twin. I mean, I don't know if, and it, I'm sure it's, maybe it's different between spontaneous and IVF.
Well, in the IVF literature, the rate of vanishing twins seems to range a little bit, but it has been described to be about 10% of all pregnancies, to be as high as 30% of all initial twin pregnancies may result in a vanishing twin pregnancy. So that's quite a range, but it's not uncommon in the IVF literature. I think, again, we just have less statistics regarding spontaneous pregnancy, since most of those ultrasounds aren't done until later. Mm-hmm. So we just don't have as much data regarding a 6-week ultrasound versus an 8-week or 10-week ultrasound in the absence of fertility treatments.
And we might be seeing more of it, because I know that they just released the new guidelines for dating pregnancies that recommends getting the early dating ultrasound to kind of correlate with your last menstrual period. Because I know I'm somebody, I have PCOS and I have very irregular cycles. And so if I hadn't been tracking my cycle, I would have been thoroughly confused when I went to get my ultrasound for this baby. I had a miscarriage and then a really long cycle following that. So I went in and I would have been like 10 weeks pregnant based on when I had had my last period. But I knew from tracking ovulation that I was really only 6 weeks along. So as more women become aware of the importance of dating pregnancy, especially with those end cutoffs for twins, right, you know, those 38, 39 week cutoffs, if you know your dates, then it's a better chance of being accurate. So maybe we'll see more data.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it's earlier on. But I think, I guess, in general, it's safe to say that for most twin moms who've heard, okay, we're carrying, there's two heartbeats, that 90%+ are going to continue on as healthy twin pregnancies, statistically.
I think that the further along in the first trimester that people get, the more comfortable we can be and kind of breathe a little bit easier. So I think the majority of the time it continues on without difficulty. So I think I would want to offer that reassurance to couples who have conceived twins. But much the same way, sometimes people consider not sharing with the whole world that they're pregnant until the end of the first trimester. I mean, I think sometimes, particularly if it's an IVF pregnancy and you're doing a scan at 6 weeks, you know, sometimes people choose to wait a few more weeks just to get final confirmation. But again, the vast majority of the time it's continues on without difficulty. So we always want to be optimistic and hopeful.
Yes.
So, but I think it's something that we do know is a phenomenon that seems to be more common with IVF pregnancies, since we're monitoring them early on.
You know, it's really interesting. I didn't know it was called vanishing twin syndrome at the time, but when I found out that I was pregnant with twins, they didn't catch it at my first ultrasound. So it was my first trimester screenings that I was doing. So I was about 11 weeks or so pregnant. And my first question to them was, is the second baby, or are they both okay? Because since they didn't see it, I don't know if they were hiding. I don't know what was going on in 8 weeks. But that was my first question is, well, maybe they didn't see it because there's only half a twin there, you know, something, you know, you don't know. I mean, someone's giving you news like that. That's, you know, you have a lot of questions like that. But and I think a lot of people finding out, especially if you didn't know you were going to have twins, there's no twins in your family. So it's one of those complete, you know, surprises. I think it's really natural for parents to wonder, okay, what is the cutoff then for really thinking that this is going to be viable, you know?
But it sounds like it's great advice just to use that, you know, first trimester mark before you make a big announcement.
Yeah, I would say tell your friends and family, but you know, if you feel comfortable. But I think for wider announcements, sometimes people feel more comfortable just waiting a few extra weeks.
Right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the signs that you could experience a vanishing twin.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Thank you. Well, welcome back. Today we're talking with Dr. Brooke Friedman about vanishing twins during the pregnancy. So maybe you can describe, what are some of the symptoms that a woman might experience that suggest the loss of an embryo?
So oftentimes there are no symptoms. So oftentimes, because we're talking about something that's so early on, typically between 6 to 8 weeks of pregnancy, typically there are no symptoms. Sometimes it can be associated with a little bit of bleeding, but often there are no symptoms.
Okay, so she really wouldn't know until she visits her next checkup and gets an ultrasound.
Then. Yeah, often there may be no symptoms, or there may be a little bit of bleeding.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And besides ultrasounds, there are other tests that would confirm that there is a loss?
No, it's really ultrasound based. Okay. Yeah, that's really the only way to know for sure.
I had a question. So with a miscarriage, obviously there will be bleeding at some point, or else a woman has to have dilation and curettage, right? DNC done if it doesn't pass on its own. But with vanishing twins, it seems like you say that the embryo can just get kind of reabsorbed, but that doesn't happen with a singleton miscarriage, right? So what's the difference? How does that work?
Sure. I think it's really stemming towards that these vanishing twins are very, very early losses. So I think if you're looking at a pregnancy that's, you know, around 6 weeks, you know, that it tends to sort of be a much smaller pregnancy, and you know, the body can just absorb it. We're not going to, obviously don't want to intervene because there's a continuing pregnancy there, and so you know, it just sort of, there is a small amount of tissue that will remain there, but it's something that then the body can sort of absorb, or sometimes it just stays small, and then it's actually something that we can sometimes see, like at the time of the delivery of the remaining singleton.
Is it something that when you go to your first appointment, let's say you didn't know that this had happened, is it something that a medical provider would definitely tell you about? Or, you know, I mean, sometimes I feel like we're only told what we need to know. And is that something we really need to know? Like, we're saying it could show up on an ultrasound. Is it something, and maybe this is subjective, maybe this every provider is different. But
sure. I mean, I think certainly we're always very honest about what we see. So if we see something at 6 weeks and I see more than one implantation, more than one pregnancy, I'm going to say I see more than one pregnancy. Sometimes what will happen, you know, in the case of a twin pregnancy, is that one pregnancy will look more developed than the other, but there'll be a size discrepancy. And so then I'll say with the couple, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about one twin that's measuring smaller, measuring behind, but let's repeat the ultrasound and see. And sometimes it's the smaller one that is showing signs of not being as developed that then doesn't continue to develop at the next scan. But I would be surprised if that was information not disclosed to a patient. I think we always want to be honest about what we see, and just want to be forthright and everything we see at each ultrasound.
It sounds like you have to, you're trying to communicate that there is concern, but then you don't want to upset them too much. Yeah. I mean, that's a real, tough balance.
It is. I mean, I always say I want to be cautiously optimistic. So I always say that. I always want to be cautiously optimistic. I want to be hopeful, but I also want to be honest. So if I do have a concern, I always want to say, I want to be cautiously optimistic, but I am a little bit concerned that, you know, this may be what's going on, but let's reevaluate next time.
And I mean, if you do see that, I mean, when the woman's going to, you know, to regular checkups and the ultrasound does confirm that there is a loss, you know, can you tell us about any of the psychological or emotional experience that might be common for women in this position?
Absolutely. I think particularly with the patients that I see that have been struggling with infertility, it can be quite devastating. You know, I think it's I really talk to them the same way that I've talked to someone who've had a miscarriage, and then again, reemphasizing this is not your fault, and that we know this is a common phenomenon, trying to place it into context to normalize it, that we know that, you know, as high as 30% of some studies have described this phenomenon, and that we know it most likely stems from not every embryo being genetically normal or structurally normal, not being able for that embryo to develop into a healthy child, and that this was nature's way of recognizing that and saying, you know what, this embryo was not able to continue to develop. So that's generally kind of what I talk about, and just to acknowledge the fact that it is a loss, and, you know, but then to focus on the remaining singleton that's there, and
really
to kind of
celebrate that.
Absolutely,
pregnancy,
yeah. Absolutely. And then, you know, as you mentioned, oftentimes if that there was a scan done later, we would might never have known that there was a second implantation. But having seen that then, and you know, as soon as you see that, then your mind obviously goes, you know, towards envisioning that twin pregnancy, understandably. So it can come as quite a shock. But I think just emphasizing that we really feel like that's probably nature's way of recognizing that was not going to be able to be a healthy child.
And I do know that there are some support groups. There's a few links on the Multiples of America website that list support groups for moms who have lost a twin, whether it's in utero or after birth. And I think those are some, you know, great resources.
Absolutely.
Because it is a fairly unique situation.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And now we know you're not, you're a reproductive endocrinologist. You're not a psychologist. But, you know, for those moms who, you know, maybe they you know did get the scan at the, you know, the 8-10 weeks, and they were really excited about having twins, and they, you know, told their family and friends, and then, you know, 2-3 weeks later find that they have in fact lost the embryo. You know, what advice do you give, you know, in terms of responding to all those questions like, oh, how are the twins doing?
Yeah, that's definitely a very difficult situation. I think some of the support groups that you mentioned, I think, can be helpful in that situation. But I think just if they're comfortable being honest to say, you know, this can happen. My doctor told me this is actually quite common, unfortunately, early in the first trimester, and that we know this was really most likely related to an abnormality of the embryo that was not allowing it to continue to develop into a healthy pregnancy. And so just sort of acknowledging that this is common and just trying to educate people if they feel comfortable that this is common, unfortunately, but then trying to celebrate the singleton and the focus on the remaining pregnancy. But certainly, you know, I always encourage patients if they're struggling to get as much support as possible, whether that be family, friends, support groups, a psychologist, psychiatrist, therapist. I mean, I think it's really important for people to have the support that they need to get through what may be a challenging time.
I think it's really important to acknowledge it as we've talked about it, as a loss too, because there would be a lot of people probably quick to say, but you still have a baby. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know even the mental process I went through in finding out that I was pregnant with twins, like you start envisioning things
of course.
Then there's two babies and then, you know, and then I think you're constantly reminded when you see their sibling, do you know what I mean? And I don't know how long that lasts. I've never been in that position, but I think it's really important to acknowledge that it is a loss and that, you know, that it's difficult. It's really difficult, especially because when you find out you're going to be a twin mom, there's special groups for twin
yes.
moms and,
yeah.
and it's just a different kind of classification that you get, you mm-hmm. know, just mm-hmm. a different group.
Sure.
And then you're suddenly not quite part of that. And I don't know, there's a little, you know,
yeah,
I don't
know. It's hard because I had, like I said, had an early miscarriage after my boys and before this baby. And I really struggled trying to get support because I had two healthy, mm-hmm. happy children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of support groups are for people who, you know, there are people with multiple miscarriages who don't have children yet. And it can be kind of hard because you almost feel like you're not allowed to be upset because,
right.
you know, you already have kids and it's not that kind of thing. And so I think, like you said, acknowledging the feelings and kind of reaching out for support. I'm somebody yeah. who's struggled off and on with, you know, anxiety and other things. And I can't speak enough positive things about maternal mental health
mm-hmm.
professionals. Yeah. You know, all moms struggle. I really honestly think every mom should find a good therapist. but, you know, it's just having somebody who's not judgmental to talk to about it can be really helpful. You know, your mom or your cousin or your friend, they're going to say, you've got one healthy baby, you know, and it's going to be fine. And, you know, don't even worry about it. But somebody who's a professional won't have that. Their job is not to sugarcoat things for you. And so you can be more honest about mm-hmm. your feelings of loss with somebody who's not trying to make you feel better, you know, who's mm-hmm. just there to help acknowledge it. So I really think if this happens to you or somebody you know, I mean, finding those resources can be invaluable.
Absolutely. I think it's important to just have respect for everyone's situation is going to be unique. Everyone's journey is going to be different. So I think that everyone can deserve some extra support. So if someone's struggling for whatever reason, be it their infertility journey, be it a miscarriage or vanishing twin syndrome, I think it's absolutely an excellent idea to reach out to get some extra support. It can be very helpful.
That's great advice. Well, thanks so much for everyone for joining us today. And for more information about the Vanishing Twin Syndrome or for more information about any of our speakers or panelists, you can visit our episode page on our website. Now, this conversation continues for members of our Twin Talks Club. And after the show, our panelists will talk about how this may affect the surviving twin. So for more information about the Twin Talks Club, or visit our website, newmommymedia.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Twin Talks, we have a special segment today. It's called We're Expecting What? And it's all about the crazy stories we have of how we found out we were pregnant with twins. And this story comes from Carrie of Omaha, Nebraska, and she left us this message.
Hi, this is Carrie from Omaha, Nebraska. My husband and I talked about having children, and we decided finally to try for one. He was in school finishing up his bachelor's degree after a second time going through college and later on in years. Anyway, we had a sonogram scheduled and he had a midterm that day, so he did not want me to talk to him until the end of the day. I wasn't allowed to text him. I had to go to the sonogram myself. We tried once to get pregnant, and when I went in for the sonogram, she told me we were having twins, and I was hysterical. I was laughing and crying and thinking my husband's going to kill me and thinking this is so exciting, but mostly my husband's going to kill me. She actually told me I had to calm down so she could continue the sonogram. And when I got out, I told all my friends and family, and he still didn't know until the end of the day. So it was pretty funny, but they're two now, and they're beautiful, and we love them so much. They're the best thing that ever happened to us, so we're very happy.
If you'd like to share your fantastic story with us of how you found out you're pregnant with twins, you can call our voicemail at 619-866-4775 or send us an email.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, and Parent Savers, your parenting resource on the go. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number four best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.